Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly are, or did it change history? Good evening and welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score and then rewatch the movie to see whether or not the movie is better or worse than we remember. And then we score the movie again.
With me, as ever, is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
I'm good. That was a very enthusiastic good evening.
From you, yeah. Not from me.
Apologies if it was over-enthusiastic. Sorry about that. Do you know what we haven't done for a while?
No.
Okay, I'll give it a big introduction. Sam's anecdote of the week. So what is Sam's...
That's funny, I've got an anecdote about that.
Excellent. What is your anecdote of the week this week?
Let's see. It snowed. A little bit.
Did it really?
For context, it's March. Yeah, it snowed so a little bit. Actually, if you can hear the weather in the background, it's because it's bad.
Wow.
It's not much of an anecdote, but there you go.
Well, it hasn't stopped raining here for about a week.
Oh, okay.
There's floods everywhere. Wow. It's unusual, isn't it?
That is, yeah.
Are we talking about...
Now that you mention it.
Yes. Are we talking about the weather?
No.
What was that noise you just made?
I don't remember making a noise.
It kind of went like this, just so you know.
Yeah, probably. That makes sense. I'll make that noise, yeah.
Well, on that bombshell, let's move on to our emails. We've had a magnificent email from David, who is in Sevilla in Spain, where we are very popular, I have to say. Maybe it's David, not David. Who knows? His question is, in fact, is that it's quite well known if you listen to the podcast that the dad's favourite performance by any actor in a movie is Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka and the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory from 1971. And by the way, that is true. That is my favourite acting performance. But it isn't clear what Sam's favourite actor's performance is in a movie. And then he asks two more questions. And they are, okay, so if we know what Sam's favourite actor's performance is, do we have a favourite actress performance, or I suppose to be politically correct, female actor? And then he makes a very interesting point, okay? And David says, or David, if that is your real name, he says that everybody who listens to the podcast knows that you're called Sam, but it's never been clear what my name is beyond Dad. So he asks, what is your name? So there's three questions there. Let's break that down. Thank you, David, for your magnificent questions. What is Sam's favourite actor's performance in a movie? What is our favourite female actor's performance in a movie? And finally, what is my name? Because it's not clear, apparently, which I didn't realise. So over to you, Sam. Favourite actor's performance in a movie?
I was going to just go straight into the my answer for the first one, but now it just seems without context, so I won't. Favourite actor, favourite performance, and do you know what it is? Probably really obvious coming from me. Willem Dafoe as the Green Goblin in any of those films.
Okay, good. That's a good one.
I think that's perfect, yeah.
Favourite actress performance?
I don't... No, that sounds awful, but I don't know if I've got one. I don't know if off the top of my head. There's probably one somewhere that I would think of. I don't know. Have you got one?
Yeah, I think so. I did think about this, and regular listeners will know that I see the questions and Sam doesn't. But I thought that maybe I had two, okay? As typically I do, sitting on the fence. So number one would be Naomi Watts in King Kong.
Yeah.
Because we all know that I love that movie. And I think she's great in it. Number two might be Miranda Otto in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I couldn't really get much beyond those two. They were the two that sprung to mind immediately. Yeah. I couldn't think of anything else really apart from Linda Cardellini in Scooby-Doo. obviously.
Naturally.
And then in answer to the question, what is my name? I sort of don't quite know how to answer that, because if you listen to the bit of music that starts our podcasts, it clearly says we are Dean and Sam. So
yeah,
my name is clearly Bob. No. So if exactly, you're if you're out there and you don't know what Dad's name is, Dad is Dean and that is Sam.
Or son.
But
only someone's son. Don't call me son unless you know me as your son.
Yeah, that's a good one. Although I have an anecdote about that. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, go for it. Your turn to an anecdote.
So some years ago, I worked with a guy who I won't name. And he said, if you ever have to deal with a particular type of child who's being difficult, if they're male and slightly older and slightly bigger than you, call them son, because it immediately puts you into a position of authority over them. And I've been using that for nearly 30 years, and it's never let me down. So thank you to the person who gave me that piece of advice. And we can come back to the question of what Sam's favourite actress performance is, because you didn't really give an answer.
No, but I also feel like you might have chosen that question to try and find my celebrity crush. I feel like it's a trap.
Well, I've sort of whittled your celebrity crush down to two people.
Okay. So I think we should do that off the podcast.
Let's do that off the podcast.
There's one person who listens to the podcast who knows. If you know, you know.
If you know, you know. I do not. So let's leave that off podcast. So so typically Sam went away and we rewatched Eragon, the 2006 classic movie, and which I gave a 3-2 from memory, and you gave a
2 out of 10. Yeah.
So we were not particularly generous to this movie, given it a benefit of hindsight score of 2.5 overall. I'll begin with my rather leading question, as I always do. Do you think your score has changed?
Yeah, it's gone all the way up to an 11.
Wow. Like Spider-Man 2. You gave that an 11 and I allowed it.
That is true.
Okay.
One of those things isn't, though.
I see.
It's obvious.
So I'm going to begin by with my question about Eragon. And it's this. Do you think that the people who made the film Eragon had A, seen Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope, or B, had never seen Star Wars, Episode 4, A New Hope?
To be honest, I'm not entirely sure they've seen Eragon after it was made.
I suspect they haven't read the book. But one of the reviews that I read of the movie in my very loose research was... it was a review of when the movie came out, and it said this would appeal to anybody who has never seen Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, because it's basically that.
Yeah, I mean, when his uncle died, I was going to say spoilers then, but who cares? I thought that, like, oh, this is very Star Wars.
Yeah, his uncle dies. He then meets up with a guy who knows a little bit about what he's doing, who talks him through it in a very wise and very sage way, who also dies, and then he goes on to become a hero with a sword. If you add a dragon to that story, then basically Eragon and Star Wars Episode 4 are the same movie.
I know which one I'd rather watch.
Well, that's a very good question. Would you rather watch Star Wars Episode 4 or Eragon?
Star Wars Episode 4, The Rise of Eragon.
I think that particular movie is in the works. Moving on.
Oh, good.
Moving on to the question about casting. Tell me your thoughts on the cast of this movie.
I didn't really much care for it. John Malkovich, I feel like they might have roped him in somehow, probably bribed him, maybe. The rest of the cast was a bit naff. I do, however, want to watch the film that Jeremy Irons thinks he's in, because that looks like it's way cooler. He looks like he was giving it so much effort and there's a different story going on to him that I would have preferred to have watched that.
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, Jeremy Irons thinks he's in a completely different movie. He is acting for all he is worth in this movie. John Malkovich just appears to be confused through the whole thing. It's like someone said, right, John, it's a couple of days' work. It's a couple of $1 million. Stand over there, stick that on, and say these words. And he's gone, fair enough. And he just seems confused through the whole thing. And it's one of those things where you can tell he was only on set for about 3 days, because every time you see him, he's in the same costume in exactly the same location.
That's true, yeah. It's weird to me because, like, I get there's a bigger picture with the books, but he's not really the villain in this. He's basically Emperor Palpatine. He's just a floating head that gives advice.
Exactly. He is basically Sauron Palpatine. He's kind of the background villain, the big villain. And because it's never truly fleshed out by these sequels that were never made, he's just a comedy villain. I love your comment about Jeremy Irons. I'd like to see the film that he was actually in. What about the
he deserves better.
He does. He was acting for all he was worth. I wonder if it's one of those films that's now what, 19, nearly 20 years old. If you said, hey Jeremy, do you remember that time you were in Aragon? Do you think he would say, no, it's gone. It's gone completely. I've forgotten it. Or do you think he would say, misunderstood movie, I was awesome in it?
He'd be like, oh sorry, no, I never played Aragon in Lord of the Rings. That would be his genuine answer. You're thinking of someone else.
I'm going to go off on one of our benefit of hindsight tangents here. Bear with me. So you're right in the book, okay? You've got the word dragon in front of you, and you're thinking, can't use the word. Can't use the word dragon. Bit obvious. Let's start at A. Aragon. Nope, that's been done. Bragon. Nah, sounds a bit naff. Kragon. Nah. Dragon. Nope, that's why I'm here. Aragon. Okay, got it. Nailed it. Didn't bother with any of the other letters of the alphabet. Just got as far as Ian thought, yeah, that's the one. That's the one. We'll go with that. And maybe that's a bit unfair. The actor that played Aragorn famously has appeared in Downton Abbey.
Oh, how random. I thought you might have retired after this.
Now. It's not all bad.
I mean, like, the movie did so well that he, you know, he could retire off of it.
Well, maybe. I mean, Ed Spielers, he went on to be in many things. He went on to be in Downton Abbey. He was in Howl, Irish Wish, Outlander. He went on to do different things. He was in Star Trek Picard. But I think this is definitely his crowning moment, don't you?
Some sort of crown, yeah. It's interesting that you bring up the names, though, because as soon as it started, I just thought, there's all these stupid made-up names for everything. Like, in some fantasy things, it works perfectly, but in this, it felt like a headache per word, and you have to learn all of these things. To the point where, I've just watched the film, and I don't remember any of them now. Varden, I think, was one of them, which just sounds like a garden for some people, but I don't even know what or who they were.
Well, I think the person who makes up the names, the author of the book, and by the way, I very strongly suspect the book is better than the movie. I think they just looked at it and thought, right, Garden, no, that's been done before. Marden, Pardon, Sardin, okay, yeah, there it is. When I was watching this movie, it's very difficult not to compare it to Lord of the Rings movies and indeed the Lord of the Rings book. So, and we can come back to that idea later. But if you think about the Lord of the Rings books, Tolkien-authored books, there were invented languages, there was linguistics, there was philology, all of that stuff behind it. So even though there are many hundreds and thousands of names in that book that confuse everybody when you read it, at no point do any of those names feel, to me at least, fake. They feel perfectly genuine names that could have existed somewhere within the universe and world that Tolkien has created. This just feels like I'm going to make up a word and I'm not going to care where it came from. And so you just get all these really weird things. And I just sort of think, when I was watching it, I was just thinking, there's so many Tolkien copies, but Tolkien is the best of them all. In the fantasy genre.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
It just came over as, like, how can you get better than Lord of the Rings? It's not fair.
I think in these... I think in these sort of things, though, fantasy and sci-fi, it works to build the world first. So you've got Tolkien making all of these words and giving them definitions. But likewise in Star Wars, you've got George Lucas adding, and the, obviously the people who made the film, adding all of these random species in the background or little names of planets. And it sort of builds it and it makes it feel like that world is real and it needs that. Whereas if you just chuck words together in a quick story, it just doesn't quite work. And I feel like that's me slating the book and I shouldn't be. But I know it works in some cases. In some cases it doesn't. And you need to put the effort in to build the world at the bare minimum, really.
Well, that leads me on to another point I wanted to make about this movie. We said in our previous podcast episode, actually, that we'd had, over time, moved away from the long film. There was a fashion, wasn't there, in sort of early 2000s of making films that were incredibly long, borne out, I think, by Lord of the Rings, King Kong, and there were a few others. And then latterly, sort of more recently, the Avengers movies are very long. I thought this might be a movie that would benefit from being twice as long.
Yeah, I can see that. I think that would give it the leg room, so to speak, to actually stretch out and give you the story that you want and build on the characters and the world. But I think but then I wouldn't want it to be too long that it goes overboard with that, or it's more of the same and doesn't work. Because I feel like even 15 minutes in, this was really difficult to watch. And that doesn't give you any time to build the world. But maybe if I had half an hour at that point, you might be more invested. I think it works in some ways. In some ways, it just doesn't.
But I thought when I was watching it, regular listeners will know what I'm about to say. I felt like that they were invoking the Spiderwick maneuver. Okay, so all of these things were happening so quickly. Here is a baby dragon. It's flown in the air. It's come back down. It's a grown-up dragon. And it just felt to me like if they'd just spent some time building the world, a good hour at the beginning of the movie to build the world, to tell us more about the legend, to introduce the characters, I think would have made this a better movie. And that's quite surprising to me, because it felt like it was on for about 3 days when I watched it. But I think as in terms of the movie itself, longer is better.
Yeah, I made the note, funny enough, that there's the Spiderwick maneuver and then there's the Aragon speed run.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. There were some redeeming features. I thought Robert Carlyle was good as the main baddie.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was just a bit gimmicky and naff, to be honest.
Yeah, but I think what's interesting, you referenced this with Jeremy Irons, they were all invested in what they were doing. They were all given it 110%.
That's because they hadn't seen the final thing.
Maybe that's because I'd sort of misunderstood it. I don't know. I did think Rachel Weisz was miscast as Saphira the Dragon.
Yeah, definitely.
And some inconsistency in I can hear your thoughts, but I can also hear you when you speak, which is which. I don't know. So I'm going to think and then I'm going to speak. I'm not sure which one I'm actually listening to.
That brings me on to something funny, actually. Did you know I speak dragon?
I did know you speak dragon, yeah.
Oh, did you? Yeah. I used to have a book that would teach you how to look out. It wasn't How to Train Your Dragon. It was a different thing like that. I know how to speak dragon. I know how to ask it if it speaks English.
Really?
Yeah, it's true anglais, apparently. According to this book.
That's just half French. A dragon's French.
Well, yeah, it's a kid's book, isn't it?
Monsieur Dragon. Bonjour, Monsieur Dragon.
Oui, oui.
The director of this movie, do you know he's really only directed one movie?
Oh, and that makes sense. And that movie, no, that's harsh. I'm sorry, that was too harsh.
And that movie is Aragon. Although he was, he's basically a visual effects guy. His name is Stefan Marcus Fangmeier. He did visual effects on Lemony Snicket, Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Master and Commander, Twister. He was a second unit director on Dreamcatcher and Galaxy Quest. And Aragon is his one and only main director credit.
It doesn't work on a podcast, but I'm just going to nod to that because I feel like I'm just going to say something harsh again.
And he subsequently went back to doing visual effects. And so he was the visual effects guy for Game of Thrones.
Oh, that's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah, there was something about the direction that I wanted to say, actually, because I actually thought it was a pretty well-directed movie. But, okay, so bear with me on this little anecdote. Stick with me, you and our listeners. back in the early 1970s, which I remember, there was a fashion that a song would be a hit in the charts, and then an album would come out of songs that had been hits in the charts, recorded by random people. And so they were basically cover versions of songs. So these have become quite collectible over time, because you can find Queen songs, Led Zeppelin, Slade, and all these kind of early 70s bands, songs re-recorded by things like the RCA All-Stars or the EMI Singers. And they were popular. People would buy them. Anyway, the point of all of that is this movie feels like the movie version of that for somebody that has watched Lord of the Rings in the last 5 years.
Yeah, I feel that.
Because all of the aerial shots of people walking, the battle scenes, they're basically identical. It's like a cover version.
Yeah.
It's like a cover version of Peter Jackson's directorial style.
Yeah. Although that makes my next comment harsh.
Let's hear your next comment.
I feel like it's shot like a BBC fantasy series, like a Robin Hood or a Merlin type thing.
Well, I agree.
Actually, it has a lot of similarities to those.
I agree with that. I think it sort of is. I think it does have that it's slightly lower budget than other movies that appear within that genre. And so the guy's done the best that he can. I want to say a thing that might be considered inappropriate to you and some of our listeners, however. And so I'll be very careful how I do this. I do think that the Cardellini maneuver is going to have some impact on my score. Because I did enjoy the performance of the lead actress, whose name is Sienna Gilroy, I suspect it's how it's pronounced. I thought she was very good in it.
I did like her role actually, and how she played it.
I think she might get a point for the Cardellini maneuver in this movie. So there you go. Did you have anything? Did you want to say anything about the soundtrack before I do?
I was meant to find out who it was, so if you know it, please tell me. But it sounded, actually, I want to know who it was before I.
Okay,
say my point.
So the soundtrack was by a guy called Patrick Doyle. He's a Scottish composer. He has done many films. They are as follows.
I think I'm right. Yeah.
He's done the music for Henry V, Sense and Sensibility, Kenneth Branagh's Hamlet, Carlito's Way, Gosford Park. He did the music for Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Yeah.
Rise of the Planet Express, Thor, Brave, Cinderella, Murder on the Orient Express, Death on the Niles. He's a very respected guy. He's made music for Robert Altman, Ang Lee. He's won. He's been nominated for Academies, Golden Globe Awards, etc., etc., etc. So this is a guy that knows what he's doing.
Yeah, it did sound a lot like Goblet of Fire to me, and I thought every time I heard the music, it's like, oh, are we going into the next trial for the Triwizard Tournament. So it definitely reminded me of that. It's weird how it was very similar to it as well. I guess it's just fantasy. At least his music was heard somewhere. Yeah, Harry Potter, that is.
I'm going to say that its soundtrack was one of its redeeming features. I really enjoyed it. Because I now, after sort of nearly 36 movies into this podcast, I do tend to spend more attention to the soundtracks. I actually thought it was a pretty good soundtrack. It might actually be one of the few strengths of this movie.
Yeah, I think it's one of those ones where it has a sort of repeated motif, which works, and you recognize it as it's happening. Yeah,
but did it not again feel a little bit, and again I'm sort of going back to a point I've made before, but did it not again feel a little bit like this is just Howard Shore pastiche?
Yeah, I think at some extent these things just seem to roll into one.
Yeah. But you know the thing I'd forgotten? I was sitting there, I was watching the movie, and I watched it all in one sitting, which is unusual. And it got to the end, the credits are rolling, and I thought, oh, that's Avril Lavigne.
Is it?
It is.
I gave up at that point.
The final song is by Avril Lavigne. And then it sort of fades out of the Avril Lavigne song, And another song starts, which is by a recording artist who's called Jem, which I remember your sister, apparently, who does exist, was a big fan of Jem.
I'd have to fact check that, but sure.
I'm pretty sure she was. I had this.
I don't know.
I have a memory of that. But then I was like, oh, it's Avril Lavigne. That's another borrow from Lord of the Rings, where they get a famous person to do a song at the end of it.
Yeah.
Most famously, Enya, of course.
Yeah, of course.
And Ed Sheeran.
I do like that song, though.
Yeah, I like that song. But it's not Billy Boyd. It's not Billy Boyd's The Last Goodbye, though, is it?
No, it is not at all.
which is in my top one movie songs of all time.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
But box office, are you interested? Because we always do the box office.
Yeah.
Okay, so box office, it had a budget of $100 million.
Wow.
Question, did it lose or make money?
I'll eat my hat that I'm not wearing if it made any money.
It made $250 million.
Whoa. Right. Okay, I need a knife and fork.
It was a profit of $150 million. They were expecting it to make close to $750 million. And because it didn't, because it didn't get anywhere near that, they decided that they were not going to continue making the sequels. There's an interesting fact about that.
Mm.
The filmmakers, and it was Fox who made the movie, they were so confident that it would be a hit and they would make sequels, that they had already paid the actors and secured the actors for episodes 2 or 3. So if you then consider that as part of the money spent on Aragorn, it actually lost $150 million. So they were so confident that it would be this enormous success that they'd already signed the actors on what's called a pay or play contract, either pay me or play me. Because, it did. So it lost money. It also has a fascinating statistic, which is that it had the largest second weekend drop of any movie in 20th Century Fox history. So it dropped from number one at the box office to number 41.
I'm surprised it was... Wow, that's a lot, actually.
That's quite a lot, isn't it? And maybe I've misinterpreted what the figures are telling me there. But basically, what they're saying is it did quite well in its first week and then it just stopped making money and dropped 41 places in the movie charts.
Wow.
But it was described by the Washington Post as generic... Newsday, and I've referenced this already, said only 9-year-olds with no knowledge of any of the 6 Star Wars movies would find anything in this film original. And it has also one of the lowest ratings on Rotten Tomatoes of just 15%.
Wow. It's so weird that Aragorn's being compared to Star Wars, but not in the right way.
Yeah, it is interesting that there's a whole world of critics and people who watch movies out there that look at episodes 1, 2, and 3 of Star Wars and say that Aragorn is a pale imitation of those.
Wow! Imagine I was in a film that is in the same breath as Star Wars. Yeah. Oh, really? Why? Well,
would you like to guess how many Academy Awards it was nominated for?
None. Please.
Is the correct answer. But it was nominated for 3 awards. Would you like to hear what they are? So the Saturn Awards of 2007, nominated for Best Fantasy Film. It was nominated for Best Performance by a Young Actor. And it was nominated by the Costume Designers Guild for Excellent in Costume Design. But it didn't win any of those things.
Well, at least they made the board.
What about the, talking of Star Wars references, talk me through, ironic use of the term, talk me through what you made of the dialogue in the movie.
That's like I said before, it's just random names that don't make any sense and random words that just shouldn't be there. It's just not great, to be honest.
No, I'd agree with that. I thought the dialogue was, when it was good, it was really bad. When it was bad, it was hilariously funny. And there were all these things in it that you kind of, I don't know, I don't even know where to begin with them. So eventually they go and find the Varden and they live under the waters behind a waterfall. And yet if you do all of that, there's a whole new world that doesn't how do you find it? And yeah, all kinds of odd things were happening in the movie.
Yeah, and that CGI army as well.
The CGI army was, CGI wasn't bad though.
Yeah, it was all right. It had its moments.
Do you know the CGI company? Because I checked in the credits. The CGI was done by ILM, obviously.
Wow.
And Weta Workshop.
Oh.
So I asked the internet if they'd ever collaborated on a movie before or since Eragon.
Mm-hmm.
Astonishingly, they had not. It's the first and only collaboration between ILM and Weta Workshop.
I wonder if something went badly wrong.
It could be that when they got together to make a movie, the movie was not a massive hit.
I don't think that's why, but yeah. Like, that's not why the movie failed.
Presumably, on this movie, you have many interesting pieces of trivia.
No. Yes. Well, maybe.
Or
that's a lot of answers.
Or if you prefer, out-of-pocket takes. Or if you prefer, controversial opinions.
I have all of the above.
Let's hear those.
Whether they're good or not, I don't know. Sticking with tradition a little bit with one of this trivia-ness. This was the last major film to be released on VHS in the US before the format was discontinued. We've had a few of those, which is interesting, so I thought I'd bring that up.
I wonder how many films claim to be the last film ever released on VHS.
Probably a lot, yeah.
This does feel like probably a pertinent one, though. Maybe Eragon is basically responsible for the death of VHS.
Yeah, I can see that. There are well over 50 differences between the movie and book plot lines. Bluke.
And now you said that, I'd very much like to hear all of them.
I don't have them.
Okay,
just take the word of the one person who read the book and watched the film, apparently. 157 people found it interesting, that bit of trivia.
Wow. Are
we 159?
I think so. I'm kind of interested in what the differences are. I suspect the main one is that in the book, the dragon is called Colin.
Yeah, I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a big scene where they all go and bump into the hobbits or something. It's a crossover.
Yeah.
I was going to come up with a great joke then, but it didn't work.
I thought it was funny. I stifled a laugh. Thanks.
Appreciate that.
Pleasure.
This is my favourite bit of trivia, which is also the last bit of trivia. Are you ready?
Yep.
Three cast members, Garrett Hedlund, Ed Spielers, and Jeremy Irons, share the middle name of John. I couldn't get through that one. There you go.
Wow. That is
the more you know.
That is a magnificent piece of trivia. You know, my piece of trivia was that I thought that one of the people in this movie played one of the dwarves in The Hobbit. And then when I checked into it, I realized I was completely mistaken, and they just happened to be two Scottish actors who broadly look the same. So apologies to those actors. I won't name who they are, but they know who they are if they're listening.
Yeah. So my out-of-pocket take for this film, don't quote me on this. Really, don't quote me on this. Martin Scorsese called this cinema. Again, don't quote me on this.
Do you know what? Sometimes when you do your out-of-pocket takes, of course I know that they're genuine, but also not. For a brief moment there, I actually believed you.
Don't quote me.
I'm not gonna quote you on that. Do you have any controversial opinions of this movie?
I do. I have one this time around. People who listen to the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory episode will know that the controversial opinions that I have are decided by Dad. So I say the opinion and he says yes or no. If it's a no, all you hear is the answer. You don't actually hear the opinion.
Okay, let's hear it.
Does that make sense?
To me, yes. To everybody else, probably not. But let's crack on with controversial opinion.
This one's quite bad.
Okay. I'm going to go with no.
Good. I think I would have made it no anyway.
I agree, but but no, absolutely not.
No.
I do have a controversial opinion as well. Would you like to hear it?
Yeah, go on then.
It's not as controversial as yours. It might be a yes. So here we go. I sat through this movie for an hour and 36 minutes. I was not enamored of it. But when they got to the final closing scenes between Aragorn and the nice lady, I was disappointed to learn that there wasn't a sequel.
Oh, yes, we can get that in, but I didn't think it deserved one, but
but I was disappointed because I thought I'm just enough interested to find out what happens next.
I mean, yeah, there's a bit of me that would be curious. And I think way back when we would have gone to see it, absolutely.
I have one more controversial opinion. This is the one I just
It would have been The Empire Strikes Back.
This is the one that I chickened out of. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is controversial opinion number two. At the end of the movie, when the attractive lady, who's the goodie, is flirting and winking delicately at the much younger boy, I thought it was icky and weird.
Yeah, I agree with that one. I think I could keep that in, yeah.
But in a way that wasn't quite as icky and weird in the same way that Padme and Anakin is weird. It's like, but you're 35, love. That's all I've got.
Yeah, that is weird. Yeah.
It just felt a bit weird. I just thought, you know, I'll be seeing you around too. Yeah, but he's not old enough to buy a drink in a pub yet, though, is he? He's 17. You're 35.
It's a bit weird.
Yeah, it was. And that's my two controversial opinions.
Yeah,
I think I'm ready to go with my score for Aragorn. I don't think I've got much else to say about it. You?
No, I think I'm ready, yeah.
I chose the movie, right?
Yeah, I don't know why, but yeah.
I gave it a 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I have to talk about the movie and summarize everything I've just said. Okay, I'm not sure how this is going to go. So, I'm going to go negative things. It's too short, astonishingly. The actors are clearly doing a different script to the one that we saw. The young lad playing Aragorn is actually decent. And I think the guy who played Alex Rider made the right movie choice, astonishingly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that the man who directed the movie had spent an awful lot of time watching the Peter Jackson movies of previous years. I think the soundtrack is okay, and much better than the rest of the movie. I think it gets 1 point immediately in the Cardellini maneuver for the actress, whose name I've already forgotten. I gave it a 3. I did want to watch a sequel, and I do hope somebody out there makes a better job of doing these movies. But I can't give it any more than 1.
Yeah.
So it would have been my first 0, but it gets a 1 because I've invoked the Cardellini maneuver for the actress whose name is Sienna Gilroy or Gilroy. There you go. That's my answer. 1.
I feel like you gave such a good summary there, backed up with a good answer. Mine's just not going to be quite as the same. I think a good thing that sums up this film is one of the quotes from the film, which is, better ask forgiveness than permission.
Yeah,
I stand by that with this film, yeah. I do think this film is so forgetting and forgettable that we could probably say anything we wanted about it. I thought the alien subplot was a strange decision.
I thought so, yeah. I almost gave it a minus number because of John Malkovich's performance. It's just like, can it get minus 1? It's like this literally, right, John, just read these words off a card, for heaven's sake. Yeah, what a shame.
Yeah, it feels like nothing moves the plot forward for me. But I mean, I do kind of agree with some of the redeemable things that you've said, like the music and things like that, and some of the acting, I think is a good choice. I kind of wanted to give this a zero, but that feels too harsh. But again, I don't have the intention to watch it. But I think I'm also just going to give it a one as well. So I am going down a little bit, but not being as harsh as I could be.
My one is based on the fact that I think there is a good movie in there somewhere trying to get out. It was just very, very, very poorly executed. All right. Do you know also what we haven't done for a very, very long time?
Had any food? Wait, no.
No, I had a pretty
day
good
six
lunch.
Of not eating.
We haven't done one word review.
Oh, yeah.
It was a feature of our podcast and it just fell away, either because we forgot or we didn't like it. But I think we can definitely invoke one word review. We can definitely bring it back for this. So what would be your one word review of Eragon?
It's a good question. Probably, I kind of want to say meh, but that's a bit too nice. So I'm going to say disappointing. I've probably used that before. I feel like it could have been better.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with photocopy.
Yeah, good one. Yeah.
If you did a photocopy of the Tolkien books, but the photocopy wasn't really working very well, this is what you'd get. My one word review of Eragon is photocopy. However, I do like the fact that it made me want to do this, and that is, I'm going to brace yourself, because we did this when we first watched the movie. This was the thing that we did for a couple of weeks afterwards. Are you ready? Eragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sums it up.
Eragon.
Nice. It's weird, though, because I think you did that in last week's episode as well.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I started watching the movie, it said the exact thing, and I thought it was so weirdly accurate.
It was the impression of how the dragon who played... Yeah. Do you know what? One last thought on this. You know Rachel Weisz, who's a pretty good actress? Do you think if you said to Rachel Weisz, do you remember you did the dragon in Eragon? She'd say, the what?
Who?
the what do you want now? I think definitely that's what she would say. It's your turn to choose next week's movie. I'm very excited.
It is. Yeah. Well, I'm kind of looking forward to it. I have fond memories of this film. So I hope you do too. Well, even if you don't, I mean, you made me watch Eragon, so, you know, we're even if you don't want to watch
that. That is very true, yeah.
It's the 2005 classic, Mike Mitchell, Sky High, which is a
Sky High. Is that the one where they're all superheroes?
It is, yeah. It's the high school in the sky filled with superheroes, except one who doesn't have powers.
And with Kurt Russell as the guy's father.
Yeah, Kurt Russell.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, okay, fine. Okay, you have to go first with your memory score. You chose the movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Obviously, superheroes have been a big thing for me because I'm a huge nerd. And I do remember liking this one and sort of the idea as a kid of going to a school for superheroes is a big thing. Just like Spy Kids, I suppose, as well. Which isn't superheroes, but you get what I mean. So I think I have quite fond memories, but not in the sense that I'm going to give it a very high score. So I think I'm going to go with a 6 out of 10.
6 out of 10. I do remember this movie. I remember watching it with you. I remember watching it again on DVD, as we traditionally did. And I remember quite liking it as a really nice piece of kid movie fluff. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kid movie fluff. It's a film you can watch with your 8-year-old that you know they love. So in keeping with tradition where I tend to overscore things, I'm going to go with 7 for Sky High.
Okay.
I liked it. I've got really fond memories of it.
It's got a great cast as well, like Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Bruce Campbell, Linda Carter's in it.
Yeah. Linda Carter, that's going to invoke the Cardellini manoeuvre as well.
It's got Danielle Panabaker in it, which is interesting because she's in The Flash and she plays a character with ice powers, whereas in this she's got plant powers. That's very strange. More of that next week.
Do you know what day it is today?
My work computer told me something today, actually.
Oh, yeah. Go on. What is it?
My home computer says something different, though. My work computer said it's the birthday of the World Wide Web.
Wow.
My home computer has gardening tips.
My computer told me today that it's Aztec New Year. So happy New Year to all our Aztec listeners. It's also World Against Cyber Censorship Day.
Okay, that sounds interesting.
Which means we should say something deeply controversial in the hope that it won't be censored.
I feel like I already have with this entire episode.
Aragon is a 10.
An 11, apparently.
Yeah, it's an 11. It's the best movie ever made.
We should come up with a weird scoring system. So, Aragon is a Hulk 11.
I can see that. Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast. In keeping with our themes, apparently this will be our most popular episode ever. Because people like it when we're critical of movies. So if you're out there and you're an Aragon fan, do listen. Sorry. If you're out there and you're not an Aragon fan, do listen. I will keep waiting for the Aragon sequel with the original Aragon cast.
You're going to be waiting a long time.
No, I'm going to make that movie.
Good luck.
I'm going to get all of these people back in a room, and I'm going to pitch this movie, and it's going to be massive.
You'd probably do a better job.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to think so, but yeah, when it finally comes out, we will go and see it again.
Okay.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for listening. Do send us your thoughts and impressions and opinions and questions at the benefit of hindsightpodcast@gmail.com. On the rather disappointing bombshell of an aggregate score of 1 for Aragon, which is basically dragon with an E, we'll say goodbye. Bye.
Bye.
Aragon.
Aragon.
Aragorn. Oh, wait, no.
Aragog. Wait, no, that's also not right.
Oh, dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Your bye gets more and more pathetic every week.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm trying to think of a better way to do it, pathetic. Or just, I don't care. Bye.
Whatever.
That would work, right?
All right, ta-ra then. See you later.
Bye.
Whatever. All the best.
Much like Aragon, I'll never see you again.
Bye.
I really wanted to shout it then, but I'll get in trouble. Just pretend that I did. Bye.
Bye. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see, were the movies truly awful? Or did they change history?